You are listening to the Riverfront Church Podcast, a place to explore faith, history, ideals, and more.
So we are at Think and Drink Bible Study. Today is June, July 26th.
It's just after the 6 o'clock hour. We're flying at 30,000 feet.
So tonight we were talking about some more of the work of spreading the word of the gospel, how the early church's word was spread around, all the different things Paul did and said, Apollo did and said, different people who joined Paul on his journeys did and said. So y'all, what did you hear? What did you see? What's sticking with you? What are your takeaways tonight?
And Paul's third mission trip.
Yes. What would you like to share about Paul's third mission trip?
Third time's a charm.
Okay. Why?
Because it's Paul. Paul's making speeches where people are falling out of windows, and he's like, hold on, guys, I'm going to go check this out.
Okay.
We don't know if he raises the guy from the dead or just wicks him from injury and it's not as bad, and then continues preaching all the way to dawn. That's the way to do it.
It's just a flesh
from dusk till dawn.
Yeah. What else did we hear?
Apollos.
Okay. Tell us more.
I didn't know that much.
Okay. What did you
And learn? We still don't know too much. But he went on missionary trips. I guess we're going to call it missionary trips. He was able to go places and convert Jews into Christianity or the way. Something that Paul had a time with. So we discussed how that it was the same message, but where it was coming from might have made it a little bit easier due to Paul's background. And then we found out that Paul was more of a troublemaker, let's say.
I have nothing in common with Paul. Not at all.
One of his things would be like to go to a new town, go to the synagogue, preach at the synagogue, and kind of get the priest there a little upset, and you know, start the fire. You know, he stoked the fire, get everybody riled up, and then go preach to the what they call it, Gentiles. So that was kind of interesting because I could see that where, you know, looking at Paul's life now in our discussion from last week, it was a lot of Paul lived with a lot of challenges. I mean, questioning himself and what he was actually doing. And, you know, he's like trapped in between all these different worlds. Like, he doesn't really have a place to fit. And he just makes his way where he can, but at the root of it, he's still trying to carry that message. And that one place where he was able to stay there for a couple years and almost build up a following and everything, I mean, you see that he's still, you know, regardless of everything else that's going on around him, he's still trying to carry that message. And then this whole thing about collecting money and trying to get it to Jerusalem. You know, like, I can just see that as a movie, like, you know, the impossible journey, you know, like...
This summer.
Yeah, you know, like, Guns of Navarone. You've seen Paul on the road to Damascus. Now, have you seen him on the road to Jerusalem? Like, and he's got, like, these 9 guys with him, like, and they're a ragtag group of guys, and they're trying to get this money back there, and all of his friends are telling him, don't go to Jerusalem, like, you're going to get murdered, right? And he still wants to do it. And it's like, being willing to die for something is a lot of words until you're actually taking that action where you could possibly die. And your friends are around you saying that you could die. Like, it's completely different. Like, there's one song that's like, everybody's talking about, I'll take a bullet for you. But it's not really going to, I don't see anybody jumping forward. 21 Pilots. And then the one song. So anyway, but that's one of those things where it's like, I was kind of upset because we stopped right there. So now I have to come back next week to find out, you know,
because
it's like, does he get the money there? Does he hand off the money to somebody else? What happens? Does he make it? You know, tune in next week, true believers.
Robbery,
you know, yeah.
Into a Western,
and then you would never believe what happened. You know, so. There's still a lot to learn about Paul, but I'm starting to see that he's a more complicated person than I first thought, and that's one of the things that I really like about this study is that we go more into it, where we're not just reading words on pages, but we're experiencing and seeing everything that goes on around that. So that's what I got. That's my takeaway.
What about you, Curtis? What you got?
Well, I was sitting here thinking, and then I guess it kind of came to me that one of my takeaway points is, I'm forgetting, where was Paul heading when the Holy Spirit led the other people to tell him he was going to get killed or get captured there? Was he heading to Jerusalem? Yeah, okay, yeah. So, just discussing how, you know, Paul was set on going somewhere, and the Holy Spirit told some people to come, I guess, tell him what was going to happen. And that was a big takeaway for me, just from the mere fact that, you know, sometimes in life, you're just trying to seek guidance, right? Whether you should go somewhere or do this or do that. I think that, you know, if you feel like you're in good standing with God, you have a good relationship with Him, then you should not be paralyzed by indecisiveness, but make the best decision you know how to make. And God being God, I feel like it's His job to tell you that maybe you should go a different direction. So that's what I took away from that. It's like, all right, well, I'll go down the pathway that I, you know, see fit, because my intentions are rooted in the Lord, as far as I know. And I'll let God show me through other people or circumstances whether I should veer off the path or not. And that helps me, because sometimes I can be indecisive. So,
I think my my takeaways for tonight were, like, one of the stories was the most Paul story ever. Well, two of the stories. One was he was in a city, and then they, like, the temple kind of had a break in the middle of the day, or like the teaching area. Not really. I don't know that it was a temple proper, because that's when everybody took their siesta. And he's like, "Cool, cool. I'm gonna preach during that time." And the fact that he's just like, "Okay." And then I just imagine him being out there, like, you know, yelling about Jesus, like street preacher style, to like people who are trying to sleep. So, I mean, also see story of man trying to falling asleep in the tower and then falling out and then, no, he's fine. So it's very, like, to me, that's so, like, I have got this story in this gospel I'm going to share with you whether you want to hear it or not, but, like, also sort of infiltrating into those cultural things and finding those places where those holes to kind of wiggle the gospel into what's already happening. But when I heard that, I was like, oh, Paul, what are you doing? Me, you again.
So Paul, man.
That's so Paul. So that's kind of...
I'm always amazed, too, and my apologies to people who don't like this author, but Ernest Hemingway, who I often reference as one of my favorite authors, when you read some of his stuff and he's in Paris in the 20s and he's spending time with Gertrude Stein and Ezra Pound and... But also, like, artists like Pablo Picasso and Miro and bullfighters and boxers. And it's just this confluence of all these great artists just gathering together, right, and discussing their arts and probably drinking heavily. But those moments, like, when I read that about somebody's life where you just cross paths with all these great minds and great thinkers and doers and whatever... I just, that reminds me of Acts, maybe without the heavy drinking, except maybe communion, and maybe not very good at the Corinthian letter, you know, but, you know, you have Apollo, like a celebrity, you know, preacher, you know, we have evidence of that, and probably, maybe he was a better preacher than Paul, but Paul was the writer, right, the thinker. But Peter was, you know, very much looked up to in terms of a leader of the Jerusalem folks. You have James as sort of the representative of Jesus, right? A respectful kind of role. And you just have all these people, you know, doing their work for the kingdom. And a lot of them, to your point, Curtis, a lot of them don't have a clarity as, like, here's the 10-point plan for growing your church, you know, or here's the handbook. I mean, there are handbooks now for how to plant a church, and they're coming up with it day by day, right? And they're praying together, they're gathering together, they're eating together, they're fighting together, they're separating together, they're coming back together, they're reconciling together, then they're not talking together. And, you know, but it's just amazing that for this moment, all these amazing minds and hearts, but even more amazing, the grace that has gathered them together and is empowering them, are building up the church. That of all organizations, you know, that are left from 2,000 years ago, is, you know, pretty impressive that it came from this motley crew of people who are also were also granted gifts. You know, they had these gifts, whether it was as orators or writers or planners or, you know, whatever these things. And Paul will go on to talk about these spiritual gifts. But that's really powerful to me, because sometimes you look around, even if it's looking at me, and you go like, wait, so what are we tasked with? What are we? We're going to proclaim the kingdom come of Jesus Christ in our world, and all will be made right, and the evil will be overturned, and people will be healed. Like, that's a tall order. But it was just as much a tall order then as it is now. So I truly believe we will receive the gifts needed to do the work. And because partly it helps us remember, like, yeah, that definitely wasn't just me. That wasn't just because, oh, I spoke well, I wrote well, I traveled well, I planned well. No, it was like the Spirit on the move, spreading the word.
So I think one of... Why is it every time I try to talk in the microphone, it's like I'm suddenly like...
Microphone checkup.
One of the really powerful things I think about this particular Bible study is that our fearless leader's use of images...
And let's just call him Alan, just for...
We could call him
It's Alan. Not his real name.
That's an option. So, thank you so much. So I'm wondering if you could describe to the people who are listening, because they don't get to see the slideshows, if there's one image that you saw tonight that stuck with you that you'll remember. You're giggling, so I'm going to bring the mic down to you.
Okay, so... yeah, so there was a couple of them, but one of the images... Okay, so there's a lot of dealing with the old, boy, I guess. Well, we dealt with pagan images. We dealt with all kinds of false god images, these different images that people... And one was of a female figure that had multiple breasts. More than Total Recall. And I'll leave it at that for anybody that gets that one. But it's this is
true.
If you
don't recall,
yes, and it's really puts it into perspective to see these actual images that people were worshiping, like they were actually like looking at, like, yeah, this is the thing, and the images mean so much. Like, you see the temples in the different times, and it's like the structures, like they hear about a house or a temple, but to see it actually in a field, and the scope of it, like the size of a football field, like, to me, that says that it's like these mega churches that are out there, mm-hmm. right? But it wasn't owned by one person. It was like where the place where Paul was, like, that was, I mean, yeah, if somebody was like, yeah, you know what, Damon, you can get the link at 12 o'clock on Monday nights, I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to get the link. You know, I don't care. Like, how many of us would actually be willing to just go in there, whether there's one person or 100 people, and still speak our truth?
Yeah.
And how it's... And to see that image of the size and the grandeur of it, set into the city... It's like, whoa, wow, that place was actually really big. It might have been bigger than the synagogue in that city at that time. But, I mean, that's pretty impressive to walk in there. You know, like, I'm like, oh, pastor, there's nobody in the church tomorrow. Can I get the, you know, like, where is that happening at? You know, and at that time, that takes a lot to even, to have the courage to walk into a building that big and just talk.
Well, and there's courage, too, in Paul's story, because we hear time and again about how he is threatened, and his life was threatened, and the people he was with was threatened, and he has his people with him so he doesn't get robbed. And so it's not just being present in a place that's so big and powerful. It's also being present in many places where his very existence was threatened. And this sort of adds some gravity to these, like, evangelistic journeys that we're like, oh, he went here and here and here. But it was, like, a very dangerous endeavor, like... Yeah. He almost got killed about a zillion times in many terrible, terrible ways. So,
and, yeah. So, and it's the visualization. I'm a visual person. Mm-hmm. You know, auditory is good. You know, great knowledge can be gained from, like, reading a book. But this whole combination of visual, we're, like, here together and we're talking, and it's like, I might explain what a banana looks like to me, and you explain what a banana looks like to you, but if we're looking at the picture of a banana on the screen, it's like all of a sudden we're both coming together and saying, that's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. I never knew that's what it looked like, you know? And then we're no longer debating what it looked like. Now we're discussing what is the purpose of that banana, right? And that's a really weird analogy, but sure, why not?
So here at Think and Drink, we look at images. We are together. You gave such a good description of what it is. It's being together in scripture, but also being together in seeing the images and thinking about what it might mean. Sometimes it's a little bit ridiculous and over the top, but we are authentic and we're in community together. So
and there's
like
good Jamaican food.
There's good
Yaman.
Jamaican
food.
Yaman.
Yes. So yeah. next Wednesday.
5:05.
Jesus talkie time.
Think and Drink.
Okay, that's
being
good.
Here. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Riverfront Church Podcast. You can connect with us online at riverfrontwilmo.com or on Facebook. Just search for Riverfront Church in Wilmington, Delaware. May God meet you where you are and lead you where you are meant to go.